Hello and welcome to episode 383 of Sprinkles and Geek. I'm Matt.
And I'm Hammer.
And this is our mobile Week in Geek again.
Yay!
We are in separate locations, so we do apologize for any audio quality that seems to be an issue with that.
I like how we're apologizing for it now.
It's 2020, the sequel, and so, you know, Rona's fun, man.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. So we are just gonna go about doing our show the only way we know how. Horribly.
Absolutely, I was waiting for it, thank you.
So before we get into all of our fun and goodness, Hammer, what you been playing?
So I'm not as bouncy around as you, but I definitely did bounce around on games. Yeah, you know exactly one of the games I've been playing. I've been bouncing back. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the funny thing is I was playing one version of the game, and I had like 14 friends online, and I was like, oh, I wonder what my friends are playing. And I scroll down, and I'm like, ha, you son of a bitch.
Yup. I played a little bit of Darksiders, but it is an older game, so it doesn't always hold my attention. As I mentioned last time, I bought Surviving Mars. That is a fucking neurotic game, and I absolutely need to go look up a few more guides so I don't fuck myself up every time I start. Because you can definitely fuck yourself up and start. I actually did play a few matches of the Ghost of Tsushima Legends mode, which is the co-op mode.
Oh,
which I told you that I was going to do it because I thought it... It's not what I thought it was going to be. And maybe that's okay. Like, I thought it was going to be more of an open world. Basically, I thought it was going to be Red Dead Online, but with samurais. And it's not. It's more of a multiplayer sequential thing where you can do, like, King of the Hill kind of style stuff is all I saw. There is a story mode, but you can only play it with co-op, and I didn't have anyone else I knew to play co-op with on that. But... Okay. You basically get to pick a role. You have like a healer, you have a tank, you have a DPS, you have a ranged, pretty much. It was okay. It was fun. I got to play with some like random ragtag groups, and I had a decent enough time, but it's a different, again, what I was expecting. I was expecting more Red Dead Online, but, you know, Rising Sun Online, which I absolutely would have loved. That would have been fucking amazing. And then the most recent game, like you mentioned, I had this hankering and I knew I was going to come back to this son of a bitch. I bought Persona 5 Royal, which was the game I spent over 120 hours on 1 year, the original. And I decided, you know what, why the fuck not? You know, quarantine. I'm going to go and buy it. I'm going to go play it. And that's when you messaged me. So tell me what you're playing.
So I beat Far Cry New Dawn. And I don't think I'm going to go trophy farming on this one.
Okay.
It's because I kind of jumped into it right after Far Cry 5. And that's a lot of Far Cry. And, you know, the Far Cry games always have this habit of getting long in the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kind of did the same thing of like, all right, well, I don't need to be doing all these side quests. So I beat that. I bought Jurassic World Evolution,
yes,
which is the Jurassic Park SimCity game.
Mm-hmm.
Just like any other type of SimCity game, you have to play it probably like 30 times before you actually understand what you're doing.
Yep.
So I've gone through that. I think I've restarted my island like 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm like, oh, okay, I should do this. And then I restart my island and get all the way back there, and so it's a dumb time waster. It's definitely not great, and I am at the point where I want to build my park up just so I can murder people. And I don't know if that's enough of driving force.
That's kind of, I got to experience it when it was free on Xbox, and that you're 100% right. I just wanted to see things go terribly wrong.
Yeah, and it's funny because Jeff Goldblum's in it,
mm-hmm,
and Bryce Dallas Howard is in it, and fuck, what's his name? The Asian
Chris
doctor.
Chris Pratt? I can't. Oh, not him. Okay,
no,
yeah.
No, the Asian doctor. I can't, but BD Wong, he's in it.
Is it his name BD Wong?
Chris. Yeah, it's BD Wong.
I don't know.
And then they have Chris Pratt's character, but whoever's doing the voice is nowhere near Chris Pratt. But everybody else, it's the actual actor, so it's really weird. Yeah. I started playing Knack.
Did you?
I just wanted something stupid, and I was like, huh, I'll play a platformer. I don't understand the hate for Knack. It's fun. Like,
oh yeah, no, it's not great. Fine.
Yeah, it's not great, but I don't understand the negativity towards it. And then I too have started playing Persona 5. I bought that a while ago.
Yeah, you did.
And I'm probably 2 hours into the game, and at some point I would like to actually play the game. It definitely is a slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I've met the cat, I've escaped the castle, and yeah, and I'm just like, what is going on? Like, none of it makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
And it feels like you start the game at the end of the game, and then it seems like he's telling the story of how he got there.
Yeah.
This is definitely an anime, the game. so I can't really comment too much on it. There's too much shit going on the screen, though. When I'm trying to go somewhere, every time you pass somebody, the bubble pops up of what they're saying.
Yeah.
And if you pass a whole bunch of people, like, in the mall or the subway, there's just bubbles everywhere, and I'm like, dude, this has got to go.
That is, that's not going to go, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, I figured that. So, I can't really say anything about Persona 5. I know everybody loves it, so I'm kind of giving it a shot. And I play it until I'm like, all right, I need something to do, and then I save and go do something.
Mm-hmm. It's because you asked me like where you can actually do things, and you saying like you escape that and you have the cat and everything, you're just getting into the motions. When you actually go back into the castle, you start seeing the rhythm of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it's going to be a rhythm you maybe may or may not enjoy, because it's very much a min-maxer's dream. Like, it's one of those games where I don't look down on people who maybe play with a guide open. I actually looked online to see if I can find the guide for it, because I would absolutely buy the guide just to have it, because it's one of those games I enjoy the play of it, and I enjoy the rhythm of it, and I enjoy all that stuff, but yeah, I forgot how slow the beginning is. And it just jumps you in, and it's like, you'll understand eventually, maybe.
I guess. Yeah, like, can you give me a story? And it's like, no. We're going to talk about volleyball, and you're like, alright, cool, I guess.
We can give you an idea of the story.
But yeah, so that's where I'm at. Alright, so we're going to go ahead and move to this week's streaming review, which was brought to us by you, my good man.
Yes, I wanted us to watch Soul, which was the new Pixar, I'm going to say streaming movie, because it came out direct on Disney Plus. But it's about Jamie Foxx's character, right? It's Jamie Foxx's voice is in. Yes. Who's basically a band teacher, also aspiring jazz artist, who finally got his big break and then passes away to the afterlife. And it's his struggle to get back to his body so that he can have his big break. And in that point, he meets 22, which is a soul that never passed the point of like saying, hey, you can go to Earth and you can start your life. And so you have this combat thing where basically 22 doesn't want to go to back there to Earth and try to find a way to skip the line and just stay forever in this, not purgatory, I can't remember what's the what they call it, the new U Center, or whatever they call it.
Right.
And you have the main character, which I can't remember the name of him for the life of me, but he wants to get back to a planet, back to Earth. They jump, find a way to
Joe,
jump back.
Wasn't it Joe Gardner?
That sounds right. Good. Thank you. They jump back down and they actually get into the bodies, but it's a little swap, like a Freaky Friday thing where he gets into like a therapy cat and 22 stuck in his body who doesn't want to be there. And it's kind of one of those learning to love and appreciate life, but also understanding your wants and desires and what your purpose is. And kind of one of those, I mean, it's very, we've seen the story before. Like, hey, you think you know what your purpose is and everything like that, but you're so blinded by your ambition, you can't see the forest through the trees.
Right.
Now, you called this, did you say this was, this wasn't the C team, because that was, you're talking about that as Onward. I want to say this is the A team for Pixar.
This is the A
team. So I know we can go more into it a bit, and we will, but... Did I do a good recap, kind of, sort of?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much exactly what happened.
So what did you think about it?
I thought it was really well done. The humor, there's a lot of parts where the humor was funny. And you want that, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, in Onward, I felt the humor was forced humor. Like the fairies on Harleys, I was like, okay, this isn't funny.
Yeah.
I guess it's funny for kids, but like, but there were a lot of really good funny parts. It really is, this is one of those Pixar movies that's made for adults aimed towards kids.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it does.
The animation was gorgeous. As you could tell, like, this is, like, this was the one that Pixar was putting their shit behind, because they were both supposed to come out, you know, 2020, and they did, but this was the one that you could tell Pixar was more proud of. This was the big one for them. I really liked the story of, you know, your purpose and your spark isn't what the things you love isn't what give your life purpose.
Yeah.
And I just, this was such a good heartwarming film. Like this felt like a great Pixar movie.
I mean, I'm right there with you. I definitely, it's pretty. I loved the way they did. I love their take on the pre, like, before a soul is born kind of idea. I loved, fucking loved the Jerrys. My wife absolutely adored Terry, especially at the end part where they fucked up Terry. She made me rewind that part like 3 times, and she was almost like, you know, just beside herself laughing, as stupid as it was. I loved watching Joe, and I loved the, it's predictable, but it doesn't, just because it's predictable doesn't mean it's not enjoyable. Right. And I loved watching the journey of just seeing, like, again, to, it's like a reminder to love life, but life is also precious. And that's also talking about the idea of, like, Pixar tackles some shit. They tackle death. They tackle purpose. Yeah. They talk about being blinded by ambitions. They talk about getting lost in yourself and becoming a lost soul. They talk about so much fucking deep stuff that I'm just like, who the hell are you? And they good way.
Hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. That they, when Pixar's on its game, there's nobody better.
Yeah. I have to admit, I really did enjoy the, I like the chemistry between 22 and Joe. I love the whole, I don't know, there's just, this one didn't have maybe as many cry moments. Like, Up made me cry within, it made us all fucking cry within the first,
well,
like,
right,
5-10 minutes. This one, there is only one cry moment. I remember specifically, it was the parts where he was flashing back to when he was playing with his dad and then playing for his dad right before he passes. And you can kind of tell the progression where his dad can't really see as much. So he's playing with his son, and then his son's playing for him, and then he's gone. And I'm like, oh, shit, don't hit me in parent feels. Because it does, 100%. It's like, you hit me right in the one, what is it, the big fish button, as I call it. Because you hit that button hard. But I loved it. I was thankful for this one. It was, to your point, it was refreshing. It was just kind of wholesome. But also at the same time, there's some ominous shit here they talk about. Like, just the great beyond and the idea of people going to a giant bug catcher. Like, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah. The bug catcher was fun, and I really liked this movie. I'm glad that I got to watch this one. This is definitely one that I do recommend.
I 100% with you as well. And there's something where I've actually debated on. There's this one point where he jumps in the body of the cat, and he asks the question, "Where's the cat?" And then it immediately flashes to a picture of the cat's soul on the Great Beyond, going meow. And I don't know why, but this fucking kills me. And there is a shirt online, and something like, obviously Facebook listens, so it saw that. There's a shirt where it has a bunch of the cat souls everywhere, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Wow.
I need this. Like, this is this niche kind of shit that apparently you know I want. But yeah, 100%. Go fucking see this movie. It is really well done, and it's just kind of, I don't know, kind of inspiring, I guess, that I'm like, fuck, you can do some really amazing things about some stuff that I would never imagine you make a kids movie about, but thank you.
Yeah, I love when Pixar's on. When they're on, they're amazing. Alright, so for this week's stream review, we're going to go to the theater? We've decided that we are going to both rent Tenet and give that a go. Yes. So this is not available on a streaming site. You'll probably have to do like Redbox, Amazon Prime to rent it, VOD, stuff like that. But if you have anything you want us to watch on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, HBO Max, Disney Plus, let us know at battenhammer@gmail.com, battenhammer on Twitter, Sprinkins and Geek on Facebook. You can reach me. I am at Taro Skippy.
I'm at Crime Kalis. Make sure to like us, love us, and share us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Podbeam. You can find us every Tuesday morning, or when I'm a little overly ambitious, Monday morning. And yeah.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
I thought it was Tuesday. I thought it was Monday. And I thought the day following was Tuesday. Delightful surprise when I was like, okay, I got up to work, and it was literally, I think it was TK who mentioned, hey, you posted on Monday. And I'm like, oh, it's Monday. Oh, I don't have to work. Thank goodness.
Oh, you don't go to the office anymore. So.
What's up? Yeah.
So you don't go to the office anymore. So
that's not... I was getting up in PJs and making breakfast. So I was like, oh.
All right. So for this week's Nerd News, Ray Fisher is officially done with DC. Yay.
Ray Fisher.
He was Cyborg.
Well, I'm not surprised with all the suits and stuff.
Yeah. Well, with the issues he has with DC, I'm not surprised, but it sucks that they're going to have to recast Cyborg, but like, they ever even do their...
they have to recast half of Cyborg? He's going to be half one actor, half another actor. Yeah, I don't know. Like, there was some steam behind, like, Shazam and Wonder Woman, and then Wonder Woman 1984 came out.
Right.
And right. I'm going to watch the Zack Snyder cuts, because it's going to be, like, more series-wise, but I'm not holding out any hopes.
No, I'm definitely going to watch the cuts, but, I mean, we saw what he did with BVS.
I mean, you know I watched it, and I didn't hate it as much. No.
Yes, you did.
I told you that.
You've given it the benefit of the doubt.
I didn't. I think I went in with a fairly unbiased opinion on it, but like, I was ready to hate it, and I didn't as much, but... You know, neither here nor there. I did not like Wonder Woman 1984. And I did rewatch that.
People didn't.
I didn't like it. Yeah, I know. And it's an unpopular opinion. Isn't that funny?
No, the unpopular is liking it.
I know, but I mean, when I've talked to people, I'm like, yeah, wasn't that good? They're like, well, you're wrong. And I'm like, oh. Vocal Minority, I've never heard of this before. I mean, it's okay. If you like it, that's great.
No, if you like it, hey, that's good on you. But, like, I wish I could. I wanted to. Man, I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, I did too. Yeah. So badly.
Yeah. Yeah. New story number two, the Disney Pass is no longer a thing. Which the
annual You're talking
pass,
about
which is
I thought it was only for Disneyland.
Yeah.
Or is that for Disneyland / Disney World?
No, I didn't see anything for Disney World because they're technically open right now.
Yeah.
Disneyland is not offering one currently. And as of right now, it's going away. There isn't any sort of information on if it's going to be replaced by anything or not. Which I imagine it would be. Because, like, the amount of money that the Disney Pass holders spend is far more than the regular person spends when they go to Disneyland. Because the pass holder, one, is like, well, I need to get my money's worth for this pass. So they go multiple times a year. Well, if you go multiple times a year, you're buying churros and mint juleps and ears and all the stuff multiple times.
I mean, I assume that too, but I'm wondering if there's number crunchers that are saying that that's not the case. And they get more out of, like, the one-timers that come out and then blow all their wad kind of thing. I'm wondering.
Maybe, but you also have, I mean, it wasn't open for a year, so you had to issue all those refunds.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're just like, it's not even worth it to deal with that.
I have an odd thought, and I'm kind of curious if that's...
you always have odd thoughts.
So, you know, the vaccine's rolling out. People can have proof of their vaccines. Yeah, indeed. But naturally, that means if the vaccine's rolling out, there's people that don't want to take it. Do you, as a business, make it an imperative that you have to have your vaccine before you can come in? I'm thinking all the HIPAA compliance stuff they couldn't do with that, but
I don't because you can't force someone to take a vaccine.
Yeah.
And we won't reach herd immunity until probably 2025.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, do you have a disease day where one day a week is all the non-vaxxers can go in and you just don't worry about it and be like, hey, here's your liability form. If you catch anything, we're good. I don't know when we're ever going to see things get back to normal. And, like, you know, my daughter's about to basically lose her second year of school. And
yeah,
that's rough.
Those are formative years, so yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll be able to, because you can't, like, it's weird because you can't ask people their medical history.
I know, that's, I was thinking the HIPAA compliance part. And I mean, like, for my, I can tell you, for my work in general, I know they've actually just sent out a survey literally today. It was like a three thing, like, hey, would you be interested in taking survey, getting the vaccine? And I'm like, yes. Would you be interested in getting it if you get it at work? Sure, why the hell not? Blah, blah, blah. So I had simple questions, and I'm like, but they can't obligate us to get it, but I'm wondering if they can. I'm wondering where that fine line actually is, you know?
You know, I don't know, because, like, public schools, you have to be vaccinated against measles and mumps and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But, like, if you don't go to public school, you don't have to be vaccinated.
Can I tell you something funny and fucked up?
Oh, Jesus.
So for one of my coworkers today, I was talking about the vaccine. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're going to get it? I'm like, oh, absolutely. I'm just, you know, I think that the businesses are generally going to have to anticipate that people are going to be sick like, quote, I'm using air quotes sick because it's not actually getting sick. It's just your body running through the rigors at it if you were sick, because if you read the stuff about the virus or about the immunization, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, people are going to have to assume that you're going to have roughly about a day to three. It seems like the rough roundabout of you feeling like absolute shit, because some people vary. Some people get very, very mild. And some people get really fucked. That's just how the vaccine kind of goes. that I was like, hey, you have to kind of plan that out. And she's like, well, I'm not going to. I'm still very skeptical. I'm just going to sit back and wait. I'm like, oh, okay, well, then that's fine. I'm like, I'll get it as soon as I fucking can. But then she's like, but I absolutely want our teachers to get it so we can get, like, sending our kids back to school. And I started laughing. I'm like, what the fuck? That is some double standard shit right there.
Yeah, it's tough because you... What? Okay, news story number three.
Sorry.
So, this obviously was not a coordinated strike, but both Bethesda and Ubisoft have announced they're making new Star Wars games that should be released by 2022 or 2023. Spoilers, the EA exclusivity deal with Lucasfilms expires in 2022. And Lucasfilms... announced that there's all the Star Wars games are going to be under the Lucasfilm Games moniker.
Yeah.
So we are going to see new types of games.
I mean, are we though? It's Bethesda and what else?
It's Bethesda and Machine Games are doing an Indiana Jones game.
I saw that part, yeah.
Ubisoft is doing an open-world Star Wars game.
So what you're saying is we're not going to see new games. We're just going to see games that have a different veneer of Star Wars over them.
We're going to see a reskinned Far Cry where you're a bounty hunter. And
or as I say, you're a game. Ranger.
But like, or yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
woo-woo. Cool.
It's good to have different games out. Especially because EA didn't... I mean, they put out...
Three games.
Only two games for a while. And they bumped it up to four, yeah. But Battlefront and Battlefront 2 were... Squadrons. Like, Battlefront, they popped out real quick. And Battlefront 2 came out pretty quick. And then they just kind of sat.
Mm-hmm. I mean, woo-woo... For like an Indiana Jones game, I saw that and I'm like, okay, it's another Tomb Raider game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another Star Wars game, to your point exactly, all I can think about is like, it's going to be the same things that Ubisoft does, just with the veneer of Star Wars, which means it'll be amazing. I'm putting air quotes on the amazing part.
Right. But like, the collectathon is going to be ridiculous for Ubisoft.
Oh, yeah. Collectathon and open world games, absolutely.
Especially because it's going to be, you know, an open world Star Wars game, which is going to be either like a bounty hunter, mercenary, rogue type thing, or a Jedi.
Yeah. And cool. I'm not really excited. I mean, I'll wait and see what the games actually turn out.
I'm hopeful. And we'll kind of get back to this a little bit later when we talk about the pod question.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, that's this week's nerd news. So we're gonna go ahead
Did you see Kong's gonna come out earlier? Kong's coming out earlier?
No.
What is it? Godzilla vs. Kong's coming out March 26th.
Really?
Yeah, two months earlier than it was planned and scheduled.
It's January and we haven't seen a trailer yet.
It's coming out March 20th. Apparently, that's, you know, if I were to believe the IGN gods and other sites, I checked like two places, that's as far as I went. But yeah, apparently it's coming out like 2 months earlier than planned. So I'm guessing we'll see trailers in the next month?
We should have a trailer by now. Like, that doesn't...
I mean, we also haven't had really theaters. Excitement and...
Yeah, but that doesn't build up the excitement of, like, what?
How about this? I'm going to say this, and I'm realizing how fucking damning it is, but, I mean, it's a giant gorilla, or a giant ape, sorry. Giant ape versus a giant lizard.
Zilla.
And they can get it wrong. They absolutely can get it wrong by them just, you know, forgetting that it is a giant ape versus a giant.
By forgetting to let lizard. Them fight?
Yes, exactly. Let them fight. But first, exposition. All right, sorry, that's all I have.
Huh. I'm gonna keep my eyes peeled for a trailer.
I will, too, because I want to see a movie. That's the one we were talking about. I really want to see it in theater.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go to, like, Alamo or something to see it, because Alamo's at least population-controlled.
Hipster enough?
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to this week's pod question, which was brought to us by you, my good man.
Yes, I was on a Mars kick, so I want to know what was your favorite Mars-influenced movie, which I know is a weird-ass question, but it's weirdly phrased. It's an easy question, but I know we got some answers. Did not
mind. Yeah, both that, I think. Both TK and the Hetero Life Mate came back with The Martian, which is excellent.
It's a solid fucking movie.
I do want to watch that again. Because I actually haven't watched it since we saw it in the theaters. But that movie is excellent. For me, I wanted to go with Martian, but I actually went with Mission to Mars. Just because I'm fascinated with alien life. I love the idea that we came from another planet or whatever. And then grew from organisms here. I just love that premise. And this was in the mid 90s where Gary Sinise was on fire with Apollo 13 and Forrest Gump. And we still didn't have fantastic satellite images of Mars, so they thought that there was a face on Mars, and it turned out to be a face that was covered by sand and blah 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 blah. I love this movie, and I probably shouldn't. Every time I watch it, I'm like, this isn't really that good of a movie, but yet I watch it pretty frequently.
It actually was one of the ones. Oh, it's funny because there's actually the Mission to Mars is one of the ones I've been wanting to watch lately, but I couldn't find it streaming anywhere, and I don't own it. So
that's one of the things about streaming is like the 90s stuff. The 90s stuff is hard to find.
If it's not cult favorites, then yeah, it's hard to tell to find. Mission to Mars is a solid choice. I actually, that was one of my favorites for a good long while, and then obviously The Martian I also adore. No, mine is my first love of Mars, which was Total Recall. It is not a great one. Yeah, you did. It's not a great one. It's just, it's fun. It's an Arnie movie, so it's just fun. But it was the first time I saw, quote unquote, in my mind, like air quotes there, but I'm like, I saw Mars and I was like, holy shit, this is another world. And for some reason at the time, seeing this whole idea of in a movie you have the travel from Earth to Mars for some stupid reason was exciting as fuck to me. So yeah, but yeah, that's my favorite. I love it so much, and it fueled so much of my sci-fi fantasies of just what Mars could be like, and three-breasted women, obviously.
Right, of course, because why not?
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
So for this week's pod question, I want to know, what Star Wars game do you want to see? What type of Star Wars game do you want to see? And that's it. It's as open-ended as you want to make it be. So
okay.
Have at it.
I have one. So you can send your answers
to battenhammer@gmail.com, battenhammer on Twitter, Sprig and Zeke on Facebook. You can reach Bam at Taru Skippy.
I'm Matt Craig Kalis. Again, make sure to like us, love us, and share us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Podbean.
Almost.
Every Tuesday morning. And yes, that's all. God damn it. Fuck Stitcher.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to episode 383 of Sprig and Zay Geek. Super Sprig and Zay Geek, I'm Matt.
And I'm Hammer.
And Brace Your Geek.
Have a great week.